Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this February 17th, 2023. It is 10:32 on the clock, and you got your host, James J., and we are joined right now by some of our favorite people. We have Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater actors in with us right now. We're going to be talking about their newest main stage production, A Streetcar Named Desire. Premieres on March 3rd. It's coming up. Encourage you to get tickets right now at wrctheater.org. If you don't already have them, you will by the end of this segment. We are looking forward to getting to know you guys and have you join us. I want to just introduce you and let the audience be able to put your voice to the name, so when I'm asking you questions, they'll understand who it's coming from. So we want to introduce Gretchen Powers. Good morning, Gretchen. Always good to see you.
Good morning.
One of my favorite directors. Good to see you. Good to have you in here. Also want to thank welcome Matt Goodness in. Good to see you, Matt.
Good to see you, James.
And Bledsoe is joining us.
Morning, James.
Morning, Ann. Nice to see you. And Dawn Jaminski.
That is.
Oh.
That's correct. Oh. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here, Dawn. And Pam, write that down. I actually got a last name right. And please, write that down. We are going to be talking about this play. I want to get into that and your characters. Before we do, one of the things that we like to do with this segment and whenever we're talking to somebody from community theaters is encouraging others to be a part of things at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. So I'd like to actually, as you're introducing yourself and your characters, please feel free to mention your background and how much experience you have with theater, if any at all. So let's start in with the play. I have a hard time believing that anybody doesn't know A Streetcar Named Desire, doesn't know the plot, the synopsis, or anything like that. But just to put you on the spot, because we're old friends, Gretchen, if you don't mind, would you mind giving a little synopsis of the show?
So the show is focused around Blanche DuBois. She plays my sister. I'm going to be playing Stella. She goes to stay with her sister and brother-in-law, and because she's going through some stuff. And I think that she faces a lot of, hard situations and deals with a lot of mental health, but it's also kind of about the perception of what she's going through mixed with how people kind of are dealing with her. And there's a lot to it. Mm. It's more than just a segment on a radio. There are English classes that literally spend weeks on this. It's much more complex than that.
It's a deep show. It's a deep show. We're going to get into that in a little bit. As long as we're talking about the show, let's get into the characters that you are playing. And as Gretchen, you mentioned, you're playing a pretty famous character.
Stella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I want to ask more about that and what it was like playing that character as we go on here and everything. But is your experience with WRCT, we've talked about this for years, you and I on the air or off air without you and stuff, is a hopo and these things. Just touch a little bit about your IMDb page.
So I've been involved with the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater since I was a little wee one. And over the years, I've gotten into directing, and I actually prefer that to being in shows. But
really?
Lately, it feels like we don't get a lot of people who come down to audition. And so this is actually my third show just this year. I've been involved with every main stage show. And I would love to see people get turned away from getting a part because we have too many people who come to audition. So I encourage everyone, every listener out there who has always thought about giving theater a try, to come on down to WRCT for the next main stage show, Curious Savage. It's a great show with lots of people, lots of good parts. So if you've got the theater bug, come on down.
Well said. Matt, how about for your character and your experience?
I'm playing Stanley Kowalski, who is basically a Neanderthal, driven by his ego. Personally, I did a few musicals in high school at Assumption, and then I went on to Viterbo University, actually majored in theater. Started in performance, but got moved to directing by the time I was ready to graduate. Did a few shows there, and then took a hiatus. Life kind of took over. Moved out to L.A. for a little while, and did a few auditions, did get one little mark on my IMDb page, and got to meet Jerry Springer on an episode of Baggage, which I won.
Thank you very much. Well done.
That's my game show experience. Right, but right, yeah, right. Back into the WRCT here and loving it. I had done Harvey and Riders of the Purple Sage, and playing Stanley Kowalski has been a dream of mine, and now, like I say in the program, it's kind of a therapeutic thing. You know, it's you get a chance to embody somebody who is just straight ego, and it kind of gives you that reality check when you find your ego starting to take over, like, am I me or am I Stanley today kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So the opportunity is always there. I really wish that Ryan could have come down, because if anybody could speak to becoming a new member of the theater, Ryan would be a great example. He's playing Harold Mitchell, Mitch, in the show, and he's never been in a show, at least with the community theater here in Rapids, and fantastic job. Just a great example of how you don't have to have the experience to come down and have a great time and do really well in the theater.
Yeah, you do not have to be a crazy person like I am. You do not have to be that. You can just be somebody who is a normal human being who likes to be on stage or wants to give it a shot.
Although we'll put normal in quotes here for at least myself. Yeah, I won't speak for the ladies here, but for myself.
You and I both, Matt. Yeah, you and I both. Dawn, how about yourself? Can you tell us about your character a little bit and your experience?
Well, first I have to say my mind is blown that Matt was on Baggage, so me and him will be talking more about that at a later time. My character is Eunice Hubble, the Kowalski's upstairs neighbor, landlady. This is my third show with WRCT, and started back in high school. It's been a minute since high school, so just from a lot of encouragement from support from people like Gresham and some other friends, I got over the anxiety to just go and try. You know, the worst thing that can happen is they say, no thanks, can't use you, and maybe better luck next time. So I'm real happy that I got over that and hope I get to do a lot more, and very thrilled to be in this iconic play.
Way to be, Dawn. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Good on you. That's really
good
cool.
Good on you, mate.
I appreciate that. How about you, Ann?
My characters don't have any names. I'm playing three small parts. I usually go into comedies, and I wasn't exactly thinking about doing Streetcar, but when I found out John Young was directing and Keith Hetzel's stage manager, I thought it'd be great to work with those guys again. My initiation in WRCT was at age 14. That was yesterday, by the way. I was in Anything Goes, the first musical that WRCT did with Lois Canton directing. And then I moved on to life after high school. I did stuff in schools and stuff, but I was really busy with family until 3 years ago. So I did get to back into the theater with the best Christmas pageant ever. I've done a couple shows since then, and excited to be in something that really stretches my characters and actually having to do something different on stage than make people laugh.
That's some great notes there. Appreciate that. And especially because when you talk about playing multiple characters, sometimes some people can look at that and say, well, that's a lesser role or maybe not as big of a part doing that kind of thing. I find that to be some of the most fun acting. In a weird way, the last time I did something like that was Gypsy with you and that cast and everything, playing multiple characters, Gresham. I look back at that time, and as crazy as that show was, it was such a fun experience. It was something that really meant a lot to me. I put that up there right with some of my bigger characters I've played. It was meaningful. So I think that's a nice note to bring. And all of your guys' experience, it's vastly different in many different ways, but you all have the same kind of, you all come back to the same thing. You wanted to do this. You wanted to be a part of things. For every actor they talk about with a diva or an ego, there are so many other people out there that just like to perform, that just want to be a part of this world and doing this. We had on Director's Cut a great conversation with Joel Goodness about this, about the idea of where we see interviews with big name actors all the time. What I want to do is more actors with guys like Joel, or more interviews with guys like Joel, actors that are surviving. You know, they have a good career. They're doing well. They're making a living at what they do or what they like to do. And still maybe not a household name, but they're having a nice career. They're able to do this. I think we need to let young actors know that that is an option more than, you know, and more realistic sometimes than, you know, the other end of things. Thank you so much for that, the experience, everything that you guys gave us there. Now we got to get into the heavy stuff.
Real quick, James?
Yeah.
If he's listening, I know that you just filled his head so much bigger than it already was. Joel, I love you. He is my uncle, so I can say that.
Oh, right on. I wanted to talk about some of the things that go on in this play, some of the subject matter, some of that, because as we mentioned, this is a heavier production. This has much more meat on the bone to it than your average play. I don't think that should scare anybody. I think, if anything, that should bring people to the theater. That gives you life experience. One of the things that we're looking for now with our entertainment more than ever is instant satisfaction or instant feeling. We want to feel something. We want to know we're watching something. We're intaking something. Theater is the essence of that. It brings that. So when it comes to a show like this, it's literally written that way. It's really written for the idea of making you face subjects that you don't always face in society, that we probably would be a lot better off had we been facing them a lot earlier. Some of the subject matter in here, I think, you know, not just being a board member on the Family Center, I would think it's important to everybody to be discussing and talking about. What was it like on an individual basis, like getting into these characters? You touched on this a little bit, Matt. And what was it like just going into a play knowing that that is there, that that is part of this subject matter, some of these heavier tones? Gretch?
So I think that Tennessee Williams, the writer of this show, really touched on the pages where it hurts to look. He brings in situations like domestic abuse and basically showed, it gives the chance for our grandmas and our great-grandmas to tell their story. Domestic abuse has existed forever, and I think a lot of people still shy away to it occurring. And I think that if we try to censor this, if we try to hide literature like this, people are never going to realize that this has been happening for this long. And I think that he did a really good way of showing, you know, Blanche isn't just crazy. You know, she was being gaslighted this whole time. And I think that it just gives a really good opportunity for the world to see that everyone, you know, not everyone, but a lot of people went through a lot of hard times back then.
Agreed. And I think that one of the things he did with this play way back then when he first wrote it and produced it and it brought it out there and everything was doing a lot of that and trying to get people to where we kind of are. I don't want to say we're there yet, but we're so much better than we were before, where now I can talk about domestic violence on the air and I don't have to talk about it like this. That's a positive, but we've still got work to do. We've got room to grow. And that's why I think being completely honest with the audience, when I first saw this play on the list, I'm like, I don't know in 2023 if that's good. Wait a minute. No, that is a good play to do in 2023 for the very reasons that I hesitated at first. And that's kind of old habits that we're all in society wise, that hopefully the younger generations won't grow up with those kind of niches in their brains and that.
He certainly didn't glorify it. And I will definitely put that spin on it, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, that's promoting rape, that's promoting domestic violence. It's not. It's just showing us, he was kind of ahead of the time in the 40s when he wrote it, that there was a problem back then. Mm.
What was it like playing a character like Stella?
Honestly,
what is it like playing it? I'm sorry, you're already done with the run. I'm sorry.
It's kind of an emotional roller coaster. I've become quite absorbed in the show. And, you know, to be honest, I have gone through my share of troubles in my life. And actually, I feel like it's a good coping mechanism for me. It kind of puts me there and helps me figure out how can I cope with this in my day to day. It's honestly not as hard of a role as Blanche, and I'm really kind of sad that Amanda couldn't make it today.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she could just probably talk for hours on what she kind of goes through. But it's definitely kind of an emotional roller coaster.
Appreciate you sharing that, and can see that. Would you say that's been rewarding?
It's been very rewarding, and it kind of makes me feel like I'm telling the story for, like, I love my grandparents to death, but you know my grandma went through stuff like that, and, you know, it's kind of telling the story of stuff that, you know, our grandparents and other generations have gone through.
You mentioned that a couple times. I'm really glad you did, because it's something that I don't think we think about very often, going into something like this, the previous generations and what they have been through, and that the true trailblazers in many ways to get us to where we are right now.
I think another thing that Tennessee especially, but a lot of writers of that era are doing or were doing was presenting you with, like you said, something that's hard to look at, but also is very reflective to society in general. I mean, when you're watching the show, yeah, it's going to elicit emotion from you. You know, if I'm doing my job well, you hate me. The second scene of the show, you hate my character. But if you can get that, if you can feel something in common with Blanche, her pain, or if the frustration that Stella's got to be feeling over the situation, if you feel that, then you get that connection and you can bring that into your own life, you know? So there is that we use theater, we use TV and media, you know, as a distraction many times, but it is very much a reflection of life. So having that ability on stage in front of you is definitely learning and entertainment. So
we certainly want more and more people to come out and audition for these shows, but they got the right cast. They, no matter who showed up, they got the right people. Yeah. Just talking to you guys and seeing how much you've thought about these roles, you, the insight you've had with these things and the things that you individually can bring to these characters, they got the right cast. Matt, what was it like playing Stanley? What has it been like getting into Stanley's head?
Well, I've had my own struggles with ego, especially in the near recent past. So, again, it's been a lot of... you know, the duality of, is this Stanley, is this me? How much of me am I putting into this role? How much over the top do I have to go? And it has been. It's been very emotional. He's not a one-tone guy, but he's pretty close to it. And that one tone is not a good one. So it's been challenging, but it's also been very... It's been a good release as well, a very good release.
Something Jodie Foster talked about once that in an interview, I just adore her, so I just mentioned her just because I wanted to. But she talked about acting. Good acting is about being the most uncool person in the room. That it is about just being human and acting, being reacting the way you put that, Matt, I think is very noteworthy. I think that's a good tone to this too. But it also, it can be so therapeutic that acting can be so, especially you find the characters that you play that, well, I have nothing in common with this person, nothing alike. And then you get your lines down, you're blocking down, you're thinking about them like, oh, wait a minute, I might be a little bit more like this person than I realize. And that therapeutic essence that can happen from that. I think that's another thing that can be encouraging for people to come down to WRCT to try out for these shows. It's cheap therapy. No, I'm joking. It is a good way to kind of get some introspection and everything.
And it builds that self-confidence just doing the audition, you know, preparing, rehearsing. You get that self-confidence. You get that feeling, the excitement, and the camaraderie. I mean, I can honestly say the four of us have never been in a room before this show, and I'm very glad that we met, and it's been a great process.
Yeah. Some of my best friends are straight from WRCT shows. Like, you build life-lasting friendships.
Oh, yeah. How about for you, Anne? What was it like getting into the character? How did that go for you?
It's been kind of fun. When you're talking about the multiple characters, and I'm trying to make sure, you know, there's a very stark difference between the three. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll recognize me because they're all the same height. But outside of that, I'm trying to see what does that bring to the scene that I'm in and how is that affecting and motivating other characters? And then I have a lot of time that I can watch the other characters in their what they're going through. And it's been a release for me as well because I see so much of people that I know and myself in these different personalities, in Stanley and Stella and in Blanche, and recognizing that and, you know, kind of coming to grips with that and gaining some closure on experiences that I've had, and see it's the same as it was 20 years ago and 50 years ago, and these same events, these same experiences.
Hmm. That's interesting, Anne, that you bring that up, too, because while I'm thinking of the character you play, that's a really nice note that seeing other characters and the way that they're brought to life and even picking from that and seeing, oh, that's a little like me, or, oh, that's some introspection right there. That's interesting. I appreciate that. Dawn, how about for you?
Well, for Eunice, her relationship with Steve kind of mirrors Stanley and Stella, really, and I think she... Although she knows all that it's occurring, she does her best to encourage Stella to, because there was no such thing as a domestic violence shelter back then, and she does her best to keep Stella, you did what you could. We've all got to keep on going. And speaking on introspection, it's been helpful for me because speaking personally, it's like, no, you did not just put your hands on me one and done type of a thing. Mm-hmm. But it's helped me learn a little bit more about that learned helplessness is a thing for victims of domestic violence. And I'll reference Jessica Lange, who just as far as getting into the character, she said with Tennessee Williams, you know, well, after the busy work, you do your lines, but then you surrender to that material and it takes you to where you need to go and to get into the character. So that's helped me kind of step out of and get into that mindset of the learned helplessness for victims of that type of thing.
Again, thank you for sharing. And that's some really cool insight right there. Thank you for that. We'll take a real quick commercial break. Minute tops. We'll be right back with our friends from WRCT and Morning Magazine here at WFHR. Welcome back to Morning Magazine. Final one of the week, and we're going to take it right to the top of the hour with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's most recent main stage production, Streetcar Named Desire. That is premiering March 3rd. Be sure to get your tickets at wrctheater.org. We've got Gretchen, Matt, Ann, and Dawn with us, and we've talked about your characters. We've talked about the subject matter. Let's have some fun. Let's talk about some of the things that have been fun as far as the rehearsal process, the work that has gone in. First, Gretchen, I'm sorry to keep putting you on the spot, but how long have you guys been rehearsing up to this point?
Oh, geez. We started rehearsing. Actually, we started rehearsing right after the new year. And it was funny because I recently had throat surgery. And I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to do this show because I had my tonsils and my uvula and my adenoids all taken out. And I was like, I'm going to be down and out. I was better within a week. I was like, okay, well, I can do this. But we've been rehearsing every night, Monday through Friday, from 6:30 to 8:30 to 9 o'clock roughly, and we put a lot of time into it, and we're going to even start some weekend rehearsals. And it's we have laughs. We have a lot of laughs and, you know, some tears because, you know, I mean, if you don't go home with, like, thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I doing, or this is terrible, then you're not doing it right because this is a really hard show. This isn't an easy one. So we've probably experienced every emotion across the board, but it all – altogether has been quite fun.
And not to be too personal or anything, but it's not as if you have an open slate. Like, you've got a busy life. You've got, you know, kids, you've got a full-time job, all these things, and still managing to do plays. As you mentioned earlier, you've been in three of the main stage plays this year. With all that being said, to people out there that are thinking about doing this, would you say that the time commitment's not really too bad considering what you're getting from it and what you're putting in?
It's not too bad. I won't say that it's, like, amazing if you're a person who likes to sit around and watch TV at night. But I'd say if you're willing to give yourself any time at all, it's a great commitment. Like, my kids come along with me to some rehearsals, not all of them. I give a big shout out to my parents for helping me out a lot with them. But, you know, it exposes them to what is theater like. My daughter loves it. My son, who's only six, is like, when do I get to go up there? If give yourself the time, because this is the only life you get.
Well said. And it's encouraging, too, I think, people out there listening, that maybe that'd be one of the things that holds them back is, well, the time commitment or memorizing lines. Almost anybody can do these things. It's one of the joys of acting is that it's something that, like, unlike maybe a musical instrument or something, I can't just walk up to a guitar and pick it up and do it. Acting, I genuinely think, as much as I love the craft and I have respect for it, anybody can act. Anybody can learn some, memorize some lines, go out there and have some fun and do something like this if you commit to it and give your heart to it and go all in. And the time commitment may seem a bit much for some, but I would think of it very similar to how many people are in bowling leagues or softball leagues or anything like that. And really, my mother, please don't tell her I said this, because just say it all the time growing up, but nothing worth having comes easy. The rewards that you get from something like this, the benefit you have, I've done well over 20 some shows with just WRCT. Every single one of them are some of my favorite moments of my life, let alone my career. I love that theater. It's a second home to me in many ways. I wouldn't have any of that I wouldn't have that feeling of community theater or any of these others or any of the other community theaters I've worked in California or Illinois or anything without WRCT. The time commitment, it gives so much more than I think you give. And you get what you put in too. When it comes to the rehearsal process for the rest of you, has that been working well? Have you been able to adapt to it pretty good and think most people could? Matt, do you think that way?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's 2 hours roughly a day, and there are definitely other things I could be doing during that time, but again, like you said, not going to be as rewarding, probably involving a couch and a TV and a bag of snacks of some variety. So, you know, there is the time. We all have time that we waste every day, so I would much rather be able to set aside that 2 hours and have the product that we are getting out of it versus, you know, a gut or just cobwebs on my ankles from not moving around. The only aspect actually has been the fact that it's kept me out of the gym a little bit more than usual. But the rehearsals, I mean, our cast is fantastic, so we work together. I mean, even though we're dealing with a lot of very serious, deep things, we still manage to find some laughs, appropriate and inappropriate, of course.
But that's theater.
That's theater. Appropriateness in theater. No. So, yeah, it's been great. John and Keith have been fantastic, so supportive. I can't give enough credit to our props, our costuming, everybody on the technical side. Mm-hmm. Our stage is, I mean, Stella and Stanley don't necessarily live in a castle by any means, but they have made a New Orleans flat on that stage, and you believe it. And
we've always had good set builders mm-hmm. over there, but what has been going on the last couple of years, it's gone to another level. Oh, yeah. Like, that alone is worth coming to the shows at WRCT. It's some of the better set design you're going to see, and such good work that they're doing on that. And as we're talking about that, and I appreciate you mentioning that, Matt, we did want to send a shout out to everybody that's a part of the production. I wish them to have a great run, break a leg, have fun. That's from props on to the lead actor. You know, we wish everybody a great run, and hope you guys enjoy yourselves. As we're in our last minute here, I do want to give the details. Of course, the Streetcar Named Desire is premiering on March 3rd. They'll have a show on the 4th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. These are 7 o'clock shows. On the 11th, that Saturday, they'll have a 2 o'clock matinee as well. Encourage you to attend all of these because no one show is alike. Every show is going to be a little bit different. Get to as many shows as you can. You can find out more and find out about auditioning for future shows or working backstage or any of these things by going to wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Encourage you to as well follow them on social media. It's a great follow and great way to keep up on things. Get your tickets right now. I'm waiting. Go do it. Go do it. I'm giving you time to go do it. Go to wrctheater.org. Get those tickets. If you can't get them on the website or you don't have time, the day of the show, show up, and you can go ahead to the front studio desk and get tickets as well at the studio theater. Thank you for the time, you guys. Enjoy the run. Enjoy each other. Have fun. Break a leg. And we'll talk with you all again real soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks, James.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you next week right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.